Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Froth. A place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable. A spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband, Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife, Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is...
The Froth. Yesterday's non-news today.
This week's podcast was recorded in our basement in London. Our special guest is Jared Christmas, who joins us remotely. And as always, Barry's producing.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week.
Rubbish finger, quara-quara. He's the man who slightly inconveniences Bond. Shan's new rubbish James Bond idea falls at the first hurdle.
Peas, carrots, meat, then potatoes, meat, then potatoes. Or peas, carrots, potatoes, then meat, potatoes, then meat. Barry's eating habits go viral as thousands of listeners weigh in.
Mustard finger, guaraguau. He's the man with his finger in a horse's ass.
Special guest Jai Christmas says sticking your finger up a horse's bottom is a legitimate way to win races.
And those are the headlines.
This is episode 35 of The Froth podcast. Our special guest, Jared Christmas, Kiwi comedian, now residing, well, for a very long time in the UK, rejoining us in a moment over the old Zoom. First of all, Sean, I can see that you've got some pages with squiggles on. That will be the social media.
Yes, we've been inundated by people contacting the show saying that they also eat like Barry eats.
Right then, a few weeks ago, Barry revealed on this very podcast some of his weird eating habits. That I'll just recap some of them. One was eating a Kit Kat by nibbling all the chocolate off the top of the sides.
Yeah, like
one was eating the breadcrumbs first off a fish finger.
Yeah.
Leaving
again like a beaver.
Again, like a little beaver.
I think Baz just eats like a beaver. Is that it, Baz? Yeah.
Those two things, a beaver with a roast dinner would eat the vegetable first.
It's the roast dinner, it's the weird one. And that's what I'm hoping some of these emails are about. Wait a second, let me explain it. Because the roast dinner, what I would do is just put a bit of meat on my fork, put a bit of potato on there, put a bit of carrot, whatever. What Barry does is eats his least favourite vegetable first. Then second, he eats his second least favourite vegetable. Third, eats his third least favourite vegetable. And then, depending on how nice the roast potatoes look, is when he either eats the meat first or eats the roast potatoes first and then the meat. That's right, isn't it, Barry?
Okay, we've had a tweet from Simon King.
Go on.
Saying, we've all been hiding in the shadows, fearing how we would be judged by others. But thanks to one brave man, we can now all be who we really are without fear.
Yes, I am.
The thing I don't understand it. I get the Kit Kat or nibble. It's from China. I even get the fish fingers to some degree. But this, you want to eat the stuff you like best first, so that you're not too full to enjoy it. If you eat all the stuff you don't like, then you're full. Then the potatoes have just gone a bit cold, and the meat's gone a bit cold, and anything that was crispy is now no longer crispy. And also, you're too full to enjoy it. I don't get it. Read on, Sean. Let's hear the next.
We've had another one from Susan Smith, who says, I used to eat Mars bars like Barry. Chocolate from five sides, then the mousse, then the caramel. Top layer of chocolate usually went in the bin.
She's like,
fucking hell.
That's not the woman who washes her Kit Kat.
Oh, there is. There was a woman who washes her Kit Kat.
It's still chocolate.
I was thinking, Susan, why
are you throwing away chocolate, Susan?
Susan, we've heard all this about you eat the top first, then the sides, but I've never heard anybody go, and then the rest goes in the bin.
Bin is just full of tops of
absolutely
Mars bars.
Batshit. Full of tops of Mars bars.
Oh, okay.
Go on, right. More. On the dinners, please. Okay, is there any more on dinners?
Yes, we have @panicpanic, who says, every time I have a chicken Sunday roast, it goes veg, boiled potatoes, then roast potatoes, then chicken and stuffing saved for last. Has to be in that order. Always has been. I am extremely normal. Right?
Well, according to this, you are at the moment. But so that's the same as Barry.
Yeah. Then we've got Barry's mum, Viv Castanola, has contacted the show.
Has taken time out from tending her 100-odd cuddly monkeys to contact the show about something else.
And she says, I can't believe, can't in capitals, can't believe you still eat your meals in a certain order. Next meal we get together, I'll have to see it for myself, smiley face.
And just one of the subjects of that, very quick update on Mum and Ian. They unfortunately couldn't travel down illegally the day before they were allowed. That's they couldn't do that because my mum last minute got her second vaccination appointment offered. So
I bet she was gutted, wasn't she?
It was a real dilemma for them.
A real dilemma.
Just to recap on this, Barry's mum and her partner Ian, who collect cuddly monkeys, we have a feature called Apes of Froth, which we ring them up and we talk to them about their batshit collection of cuddly monkeys and what they've been up to. The last time we spoke to them, they were looking forward to the lockdown roadmap easing and restrictions easing because they were heading, on April the 12th, their plan, first stop. In fact, they were going down the night before to get in early, was Monkey World, where they've been every 3 weeks for the last 20 years. Anyway, they didn't go down early.
And then I got a text saying, hi, Barry, just arrived at Monkey World for our 12:30 booking. I shall send you some pics later. So they're back.
So they're taking bookings, though?
Yeah, Monkey World, yeah. They're taking, I suppose, to stagger the sheer amount, the sheer volume
the
of
demand.
People who want to see monkeys.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people won't have been able to see monkeys for quite some time.
Not in the flesh. Yeah.
And it's the mental health fallout I worry about. I hope this hasn't had an impact on your mum's mental health, and Ian's, Barry, the fact that they haven't been doing Monkey World for months.
Mental health has become healthier.
I hate being able to communicate with monkeys. If their mental health was worse, then I don't know what they'd be doing over a weekend.
Let's hope it hasn't had a detrimental impact on your mum and Ian's mental health.
We've had a tweet from Sarah Watson.
Yeah, go on.
I agree with Barry on the roast.
Oh, everyone agrees with fucking
veg
Barry on the
first,
roast.
The sides, stuffing, Yorkshire's, etc. Meat and then potato. Has to be in that order and can't start on the next thing till the previous is finished.
That's what Barry does. Each discrete item has to be finished before the carrot. Oh, my God.
I feel like my entire meal is ruined if I find a stray carrot under my meat.
Yeah, I know what she means.
Do you think that, Barry?
Do you, Barry, or are you
would
just
you,
being
would
kind?
Would you put the carrot in the bin?
No, I'd quickly wolf it down before I eat any more of the meat. Definitely.
But before it contaminated
I'd be,
the meat.
I'd be disappointed that I found it hiding there.
Yeah.
Is there a set? What, because you're disappointed in yourself? Because you shouldn't, it shouldn't have happened.
Should have seen it, should have eaten it.
What if you're at a carvery, though, where you have no real control about who puts what where?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what
this
do you do there
when
somebody else plates up?
Yeah.
You just got to explore your plate, really.
You've got to look for carrots under the meat and stuff before you start.
Exactly.
So if somebody else plates up, you have to go in and sort it out.
We've got a tweet from Sarah Thomas who says exactly what you're saying. She's saying, totally with you, Barry.
At last.
Vegetables first, normally roast potatoes and parsnip last. I made an error one Christmas, worked the plate as usual. I love the way she goes, that says worked the plate. It is hard work. Worked the plate as usual, then was too full to eat the best bits.
Right.
Literally couldn't eat them. Worst Christmas of my life.
Exactly.
But Christmas Day, surely you can
finally.
Still...
Finally.
Christmas Day, that's what it's all about. You stuff yourself. Surely by the time you get to the meat.
Yeah, but you would never eat... Like, Christmas Day. Christmas Day, right? You've got pigs in blankets, which you don't normally have.
Yeah.
They are the first thing you try.
Where
the
do they
first
go
thing
first?
You try, because that's the thing you... Where you do don't the... leave them till you're too full and they've gone cold.
Where
why?
Do the pigs in blankets go?
The only time I sort of break it, really, is before we sort of sit down and start eating. So, like, for example, if I was walking across with a plate and there was a nice pigs and blanket on the corner, I'd have that first and I wouldn't...
What do you
I
mean the corner? Bad. What, like the street?
No, I meant just sort
how
of...
How far are you walking with
invitingly on the edge of the plate.
Oh,
there.
On the edge of the plate. You'd eat that with your fingers and mouth.
Yes. On my way back.
And then back from the carvery. Or, and then... When you were seated, only then does the rules kick in.
Yeah, exactly. Or if I was sat somewhere and like you're waiting for them to sit down and you're sort of serving up, so you're spooning everything, then maybe I'd sort of, if no one was looking, I'd probably have a
He's bouncing up and down with excitement on the Zoom. He's literally bouncing up and down in his chair.
At the prospect of stealing a sausage.
At the prospect of a pigs in blankets sort of got away from the main meal slightly and nobody's really paying attention. Barry is bouncing up and down in his chair. With excitement at the prospect of eating, having a go on that first.
I'm going to break my own rules.
Because also, if I've had one or two pigs in blanket, for example, then when they start then getting shared out, I can then have like three. I'll have another like three on my plate, the same as everyone else.
Yes.
I've already had a sneaky two.
Yes, so you've relaxed.
I get that.
I totally get that.
We all get that.
But it's so funny, Barry, that the only reason you break you're breaking your own rules.
I'm going to start a support group.
Yeah. Baz, I don't know if you need any.
You don't need to. There's only one person who says it's ever gone wrong.
Yeah. Apart from Rod, I think everyone's kind of up for it.
I know, but these people clearly aren't feeling that they can be themselves and they're living in shame and they shouldn't be.
You should make some badges.
I'm going to be their spokesperson. It's a purpose in life for me.
Well, you are the one brave man. Thanks to one brave man, we can now come out of the closet. All right, that's the social media done. Let's get special guest Jared Christmas. There he is. We can see him. Can we hear him?
Yes, you can. Coming through loud and clear.
There he is.
Hey, Jared.
Hello, Jared.
Hi, team.
Right, I'm recording on my iPhone currently. I'm recording on GarageBand currently. Are we recording on Zencaster now? Is that, for anybody listening at home to this bit of the podcast, this is how easy it is now. Anybody can podcast. You just
need four forms of recording.
You just need 17 laptops, 200 wires,
three cameras,
three different cameras.
I can see myself in three different ways.
Yeah, I can. We can see us up there. We're recording on an iPhone. You're recording us on Zencaster. I'm recording on GarageBand.
I like you. You're recording yourselves with three different cameras, all poor quality.
No, our new one, $24.99.
My one's not poor quality.
Not yours.
Just ask the hosts. The hosts.
Ours is good now, isn't it?
I said to you know, we need a better webcam for you. So Rod's like, okay, leave that to me. And he buys one for $24.99. I didn't even know you could buy them that cheap.
That's quite steep.
You can buy them. You can buy them that cheap, but no cheaper. So all you have to do, folks, if you want your own podcast, is just get Zencaster, GarageBand, two Macs, a Scarlett Focusrite desk, two microphones.
Three people who don't mind being involved.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
This is the most recorded podcast I've ever been on.
This is unbelievable, isn't it? This is like, honestly, you know...
Belt and braces.
Have you ever watched like a James Bond thing where there's a big operations room where they're doing some kind of all the CCTV cameras across London? There's people, banks of people sitting there watching CCTV and listening to audio and stuff. It's like that, basically.
There's one where Christopher Walken makes the horse racing hedge go higher. There's a film. Have you seen it? With Christopher Walken as the baddie, and he...
Well, that's the jeopardy that he's raised hedge on a horse
jump. That's the inciting incident. That's the bit
at
the top.
Because
that makes...
James Bond is on the horse.
Roger Moore.
Okay, now we've tried shooting him with poison darts. We've put him on a conveyor belt with a circular saw on the end between
bigger.
His legs.
He makes the hedge a bit bigger, the jump. The hedge.
Yeah.
We've tried dropping him into a shark tank with a little cut on his leg. No, I tell you what we'll do. He's going to go on his horse racing this weekend. Let's put the jump up 4 inches.
It's really dangerous, Rod.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It can be dangerous. So can underheated, reheated rice. But as a way of getting, as a way of dispensing with James Bond for a baddie, it's. I mean, it's more Penelope Pitstop than James
Moore.
Bond, isn't it?
Roger Moore at a buffet going, plain rice.
I would love
is this rice warm
I would
enough?
Love to see you pitch that Bond film. With the rice.
Pitch a Bond film with tiny little Jeopardy. So a baddie whose whole his MO is that he tries to get rid
this
of Bond either with
out,
slightly underheated
this
rice.
This rice has been out under lights all day.
And you know, like,
he doesn't want to kill him. He wants to inconvenience him for around about 2 or 3 days.
Let's give Bond the shits for the rest of the movie.
You know, like when he gets tortured sometimes, they could just like, he could be having a shower and then the baddie just turns on the taps in the kitchen.
Or do what my mum did to me in the shower. This is what she used to do to everyone is for a laugh, when you're in the shower and we had the shower over the bathtub sort of set up, she would go outside and put the hose pipe up the drain.
What?
And then crank the hose pipe onto full. So you're having a shower and next thing water is firing up through
the
plug hole. Yeah.
Oh mate.
Like your own bidet.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a Bond villain who...
inconveniencing.
I think that's what Bond... It's gone all dark, hasn't it, with Daniel Craig? It's gone down quite sinister. What we need in this time, in a global pandemic, is a little bit of something, just a bit gentler.
Yeah.
So I think...
Why don't you just watch Johnny English?
No, but there's no real jeopardy with Johnny English.
No. I want to see Bond with a hangnail. You know when you get that...
You know
when you get that bit of nail caught, do you know what I mean? And then you pull it out and it's pulling the quick out or something like that. It's really painful.
First thing he does is he ties James Bond up and then bites James Bond's nails, but bites one of the nails a little bit too far down. Fucking Bond's irritated now. Then he gives Bond, why didn't you use my shower, Bond? I'm really sorry about that. And quick, boop, to the tap on. Yeah, yeah.
And his underground lair has to have damp issues, so Bond over a couple of days develops a bit of a cough.
He's mildly
and
asthmatic.
All of his clothes smell of condensed milk. You know, of laundry, because
he
can't
Bond's
dry
laundry.
His clothes properly.
Yeah,
he does Bond's
just
laundry.
Just can't dry my suit enough.
He insufficiently airs Bond's laundry.
He's asked Q for a humidifier for his underground, but Q forgot to put the batteries in.
And an inhaler.
What do you want this inhaler to do? Nothing. Be an inhaler.
Yeah. But if you push this button, a car will explode. No. I just need to be able to breathe.
Yeah, exactly. What does this do?
And Q would basically be like, I can't do that. My skill set is purely in hiding shit and making shit blow up.
Yeah, you need a normal chemist or a stationer and stuff like that.
Stationer.
And he puts in his prescription at the chemist and then has to wait 10 minutes. And then they call his name out. And that's the iconic moment. Inhaler
God.
For Bond. James Bond. Inhaler. Ding, da, ding, ding.
Bum, ba, dum, bum, ba.
No, but I
and
think
that's
the
opening credits.
The baddie would have infiltrated the chemist, I reckon. So they'd call Bond. Bond gets up, goes to the counter, and then he goes, your name Bond? He goes, yeah, my name's Bond. James Bond. They go, oh, sorry, this is for Derek Bond. Sit back down. He's like, oh, for fuck's sake. inconvenience me again, you c***.
And then he swaps his Nurofen for Imodium or something like that. Yeah. No, not Imodium, a laxative.
Yeah.
That's pretty serious. That's a bit too serious, that is, Jared.
Yeah. What, Imodium? We've all been there, mate.
I tell you what, I like it. But to get back to the original point, I do like it.
Bond.
I like this new Bond where he's having slightly underheated
rice.
It
is in the real film.
But this started because you said something about a fucking putting a hedge up too high.
Yeah, Christopher Walken, one of the
Who's
big... Chris,
why is he in Bond?
He's the villain.
Is
in
he?
Yeah.
Sean,
is it for you to
Sean,
appeal? Yeah.
To enhance this story, can you do Christopher Walken's voice, please?
I don't know if I can, to be honest with you. Oh, no. No, I can't.
No.
Clearly.
That was a Glaswegian cab driver.
Oh, no.
What was he in Bond? There was a hedge. What were you talking about?
He was a baddie, and it's View to a Kill, and the music is Dance Into the Fire by Duran Duran.
Dance into the fire.
Great song.
The best Bond. And Roger Moore.
That's the exact lyrics too.
And what's her name? She's the Bond girl. Diva, amazing.
Heather Mills?
Diva. No. What is her name?
Diva. Oh,
yes. Grace Jones.
Aretha Franklin.
Grace Jones.
Oh, yeah.
The Franklin is the Bond girl.
She beat up somebody.
She beat up Dolph Lundgren, didn't she?
Michael Parkinson?
She gave Russell Harty. She gave him a dead arm, I think.
She was being interviewed by him, and she whacked him over the face because he was talking about her nipples.
Yeah. Nipples.
I don't know. Or was she talking? I can't remember.
Mate, that's one thing we've learnt in life. Do not talk about Grace Jones's nipples.
Nipples.
Okay, so that's the new film, Grace. Now then.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Onto your nipples.
Nipples.
Anyway, I still haven't resolved this Christopher Walken thing.
Oh, no. What?
Well, there's a Bond villain
whose
way of dispensing with Bond is to put a hedge up on a horse race in the hope that Bond's horse doesn't jump it and he falls off.
It's not Bond's horse.
No, Bond has bet on the horse, hasn't he? Bond has bet his life savings on the horse.
Right.
And Christopher Walken wants to make Bond destitute.
Christopher Walken is in like a box for people who watch horse racing, and he just presses a button and he goes like that. The hedge goes up.
But surely the hedge goes up for all the runners.
Yeah. I know, it is
so
a flaw.
Why would that?
It seems to just affect surely that horse.
But he lowers it for the horse he wants to win.
Oh, he lowers it for the other horses. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so he looks where the horses are. They're on the outside, they're coming up on the inside, and the horse is coming up on the outside. Now it's James Bond's horse, he's coming up on the outside. So once he's facing the baddie, he lowers the fence down on the outside. But what if they swap then? Now James Bond's horse is going for the outside, now he's going to the lower bit of the hedge, and now the baddie, he's putting up the higher bit of the hedge on the inside.
This is how Rod woke me up this morning.
That's just how the thoughts run through his head.
It is. Oh, God.
Hey, talking of horse racing.
Go on.
Talking of horse racing, are you ready for a frothy story?
Yes.
On
the very subject
Looks like
of horse racing.
You've frothed all over your top.
I have frothed. Listen, my top is in keeping with the Froth podcast. I've got frothy toothpaste all spattered down my French like Bridgerton jizz.
I was going to say, Bridgerton is very frothy.
it is frothy, mate. Racing fans. This is the horse story.
Okay.
Here it comes. Racing fans in stitches over two sexually explicit horse names. Oh, this is in Australia, Jared. You're from New Zealand. Close enough.
Well done, mate. It's like saying, this is about Europe. You're in Wales. Close enough.
Well, that is...
People do
distance
say that.
Distance now, isn't it? There's a bureaucratic distance
now. Do you mind Wales in Europe? We have taken back control.
You have. You have to go to Europe via Kent now.
Racing fans in stitches over two sexually explicit horse names that were somehow permitted by bosses in Australia. They always got a more lax attitude to this.
They're very relaxed with their language over there.
Is New Zealand more, would you say, that in its sensibilities, like Australia, you know, you've got flip-flops, thongs, shorts, chugging on the barbie, mate. It's all a bit more fucking relaxed, isn't it? You know, we were talking about this, even the newsreaders is like, right, here comes that fucking news, yep. Anyway, so is New Zealand more like that, would you say, or more more a British sensibility of
probably halfway between the two. Not as brash as the Aussies, but nowhere near as prim and proper as British.
Brash and prim and proper. Those are that is it. That's what we're looking at.
In the middle.
Well, we'll see how you feel about this. Be interesting. Two sexually explicit horse names that were somehow allowed in Australia. Whenever an owner picks a name for a racehorse, are you a racehorse in fan, Jared?
Not in the slightest. I am ambivalent towards it. I like horses.
Hey, I
like
horses.
Wait. Jared.
Go on.
Don't sit on the fence.
Or Christopher Walken might raise it up on me.
Exactly, when you're not expecting it and hit you in the plums. No sitting on the fence on this one.
I love how a massive baddie with loads of money, that's his idea. I'm going to make a hedge bigger.
And like a very tall hedge, we're not going to get past this for the entire podcast.
No, sorry.
I mean, surely there's got to be easier ways of getting rid of it, of like disabling his horse or whacking his horse out, or getting rid of his horse or making it more difficult for his horse, isn't it? Then it's quite a technological difficult thing to raise a hedge.
I don't
or
like racehorses.
If he wants his horse to race faster, don't they put hot English mustard up their arseholes?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard that.
Have you not?
No, they've never mentioned that on Channel 4 Racing.
You get your little jar of Coleman's, right? And you get a big dollop on your finger.
I can imagine how you do it, yeah.
Yeah, and then just before they go, right, you chuck your finger up the anus of the horse there and swizzle it around. And if it's a proper hot mustard, it takes a couple of seconds to kick in. So I guess it's all about the timing. Because if they don't release the gates soon enough, that horse is just going to be banging against the thing, screaming about its anus.
Is that a thing, sticking hot mustard up a horse's arse to make it? Because how do you test for that?
I think I heard it about greyhound racing. So I don't know if they do it to horses.
Do they test for that then? Do they like drug test it? Do they lift up his tail?
Sniff a bum and see if it smells
of hat. Wouldn't sniff a bum. This is how I would do it. It's very clever.
Why do jockeys wear silk?
We'll come on to that, Sean. Why is the moon made of cheese? What you would do to test a greyhound to see if it's had mustard shoved up its bottom to make it to enhance its performance.
A greyhound
or a horse, what you do is you get one of those Frankfurter sausages, heat it up.
Yeah.
And then you take a bite.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yuck.
Then you stick it in the dog's ass or the horse's ass. And then you take it out.
The rest of the Frankfurter.
Can anyone else hear
a dog?
The first bite is a control bite, so you know what it tastes like before it's been up there.
Of course.
And then you pull it out, and if it tastes better and mustardy, then you know they've cheated. And if it tastes worse, then you know they haven't, and they're good to go.
And they're good to go. That's my dog barking because I've just put mustard up her anus.
I was like, I can hear dogs.
Yeah. Is that Amelia, your wife, shoving mustard up to see if it runs faster?
Yeah, and pugs can reach 7 miles per hour, so she's going to hit at least 8.
I think I have heard that story as well.
Yeah, Barry has, haven't you? Barry's heard everything.
Yeah, Barry will have heard it.
I don't think I knew about the mustard up a bum. No, I'm gonna investigate that.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then
I mean, and that's why.
And then if you
want to
make
Bolt
it less obvious,
so fast, Usain Bolt uses the mustard.
Now that is salacious gossip. No, you can't say that.
You mean the honey mustard on his chicken nuggets? He loves the chicken nugget.
He eats chicken nuggets.
Absolutely loves it.
That's what he did in the Beijing
in the Olympics. Just quickly, so I went to search mustard horse racing, and of course, getting horse and horseradish will be the first thing that will come up.
That's really hot as well. That could work.
That's where it gets its name.
I'll be honest, I don't think it's a thing. Mustard horse racing bum was my search.
Your search history is going to be amazing after the show.
What came up with mustard horse racing bum?
Nothing. Only there's a horse called Colonel Mustard.
Amazing.
Well, I tell you what, talk about hiding in plain sight.
Colonel, if the horse Colonel Mustard has got a candlestick up his ass in the dining room.
I'm even putting run faster. No, there's nothing about mustard with horses.
Oh, what about greyhounds, though?
Scratch all that then, because it's probably not true. Just cut all that out.
You've got to quickly. I heard it about greyhounds, and I thought it should work with horses. You just need
greyhound mustard bum.
Okay, I'll change it to mustard greyhound bum run faster.
It's perfectly plausible, I think. You know, if you have a coffee, your heart's beating faster. If you have a coffee, you know, you're a bit jittery and a bit thingy. It changes your performance, doesn't it? So I don't see why if I shove mustard up your arse now, this podcast it would be different.
Yeah. It'd be finished a lot quicker.
Yeah. We would be finished.
There'd be a different R rating for sure.
You would be like, of course you'd it would be talking faster, you'd be more innovated, you'd be more energised.
What are you trying to say? Do I need a spoon of mustard up my...
I don't think it's implausible. Barry, what have you got for greyhound mustard bum, please?
I'll tell you exactly what I've got. I thought I'd found it. There's an article in the Daily Mail. It was about a dog trainer accused of doping his greyhound. I'm like, results? It's got mustard in it when I searched. It's talking about the it's actually different. It says the allegedly meth-fueled greyhound won a second race in the week, blah, blah, blah. But the guy who's been accused of it, Brooke Burke, cuts a casual figure in ripped denim with a mustard-hued tank top.
Oh, he got it out of the dog's bum.
So there's nothing at all on that, because it does ring a bell, you know.
Yeah, I can't find anything. I'll keep searching.
I definitely hear. Can you? Okay, Barry, can you Google
Maybe
this?
I should refine the search. Yep. Give me the exact words you want me to Google.
If you could refine the search to this, please.
Yeah.
Put in blank accused of smearing performance enhancing substance around Greyhound's bum ring. Just pop that in.
Performance enhancing what? Sorry? Performance enhancing.
What did I say?
Mustard.
No, not mustard. We've done mustard. No, there's something substance. You smear.
Substance,
yeah.
Condiment.
On dog's anus, was it?
Bum ring.
Bum ring, to be specific.
And make sure you use the word smeared, because you've got to be...
No, I haven't got smeared yet. Smearing. Accused of smearing. Performance-enhancing substance on dog's bum ring.
Yeah.
Okay. What's coming up, Barry?
Well, first of all, with disorders of the rectum and anus in dogs.
Don't worry about that, that's medical.
Yeah, anal sac disease in dogs. Yep, no, we don't want that. Yeah. Then we've got the third article is Sir Bradley Wiggins breaking silence on drug accusations, saying someone's trying to smear me.
What, with mustard?
That's why it cycles so fast. We thought it was Vaseline, but it's mustard.
there's another one about UK anti-doping using sniffer dogs to catch drug cheats.
Oh, dear. You know what could have happened here?
And they're finished off by dogs and their anal glands.
Oh, Rosie.
So there's nothing about it.
Yeah. You know what could have happened here? there might be a comedian out there who does a joke about it, and it's gone into my head as fact.
And my head.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
And now it's in my head as fact.
Yeah, that
and that is a huge, huge risk because...
It's not that big a risk, mate.
Well, I mean, it's not a risk. You're absolutely right, mate.
Hey, racing fans, you remember that? I have hated horse racing since I was a child because, as far as I was concerned, like, you know, like church, church ruined Sundays, right? The weekend, your days off school, Saturday, fucking awesome. Kids' day, isn't it? Kids' TV, it's a kids' day. Saturday is balloons and swimming and fucking sausages and chips. And
balloons.
Sunday, oh, fuck's sake, church, shit boring. Shit boring.
Carrier.
Sorry.
Wow.
I'm just emphasising how bored I was at church and how bored I was on a Sunday.
How long
was a 7 years old to about 13, until I was old enough to tell my mother to piss off or not going to your boring old church.
Sounds like somebody needed to go to church.
Yeah, but Sunday, the whole day was ruined by the most boring thing in your life, which is church. I feel the same about horse racing. The whole of TV, like on a certain afternoon, was just sabotaged by horse racing. Horse racing on a Saturday afternoon. You're the day for kids and balloons and fucking sausages and horse racing. Seriously, on sport?
Yeah.
Loved Wasn't football, loved watching rugby, loved watching darts, anything, but fucking horse racing. All afternoon, hours of it. Hours and hours.
Which doesn't make sense, because horse races should be over quite quickly. Shouldn't they?
Yeah, but they were, but then there's another one.
I found the Grand National pretty boring, and the only thing that would have spiced up the Grand National would have been some rude and interesting names for the horses.
Oh, well, I've got just the story for you, Jared. I don't know if you realised that when you said that, but I did say it a bit weirdly, so part of me thinks you're trying to get me back on the story there. Racing fans were left in stitches. The two sexually explicit... Have a guess what the names were.
Mustard up my bum.
No, mustard bum isn't in yet.
Cheeky bum,
no.
No, they'd be clever ones, wouldn't they? Like when you think you're being clever by introducing yourself to a stranger as Mike Hunt.
Yeah.
Tits are plenty.
Steady on.
Tits are plenty.
Steady on, Jared. It's a family podcast.
Tits are plenty.
Tits are plenty?
Yeah.
What's so clever about that?
Tits are plenty.
Oh, you've disguised that so well, Sam.
Well, because I wouldn't have realised that was food.
Do you not... Mr. Tits are plenty. Mike Hunt. You see how that works? Mike Hunt.
Yeah, that's
legitimate
rude.
Name.
Tits are plenty. It's just a bit of harmless fun.
Right, but Jared's right in the sense that these names, these sexually explicit horse names, have been disguised.
Okay, go on then.
So that when you write them down, they look okay. It's only when you say them out loud that you go, oh, yeah. What have like, you made me say?
Like Ivor Biggin.
Ivor Biggin.
Yes.
IP Freely.
I don't get that one.
IP Freely's good one.
IP it's Freely,
Mo
that's very
in the
good.
In The Simpsons always does it, doesn't
is
it?
Yeah.
Bart always phones Mo up in the bar, and he's always like, ah, okay, every week.
Really?
So funny, yeah.
I haven't seen enough Simpsons. Really funny.
There was genuinely a teacher at a high school I went to called Shirley Boys High called Richard Palmer, Dick Palmer, and he truthfully caught a boy wanking in the school toilets.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, Dick Palmer, of course he's going to find a kid wanking.
Racing fans in stitches. Whenever an owner picks a name for a racehorse, it must be approved by a governing body. Some names can slip through the net, however. So let's have some that have slipped through the net, shall we?
How do you get to be on that governing body? That sounds like a good job.
I don't know.
And also, horse breeding... I'm sorry, I think that's an elaborate cover for people who just like wanking off horses.
My brother works in this industry and he lives in Kentucky.
Your brother wanks off horses?
No, but there's a guy at the farm where he used to work, where he was like a sales agent for the stallions, and there was a guy and he was called, his name, they called him the Dick Man, and his job, it was the worst job in the world. These are multi-million dollar horses that are being bred, racehorses.
Yeah.
And so they all had to be filmed for insurance purposes as well. And his job, right, the two worst jobs in the place, his job as Dick Man was to guide the horse's penis into the mare, and if you think that job's bad, the job that's even worse than that is the teaser horse. So they have the mare, the really expensive mare. Then they bring in the old nag that's a teaser horse. He comes in, has a little sniff around. They get frisky. Just as he goes to mount with a big horse erection, they lead him away and they bring in like a fluffer, and they bring in the actual stallion who's been watching, like his nostrils are all up.
Oh,
he's watching like a fluffer, like a porn fluffer. And then the teaser horse gets taken away. And I said to the guy when I got shown around, I said,
no, I can see where this is going. But no way is it somebody's job to sort out the teaser horse otherwise he won't be able to cope with it.
No, it isn't. I said to the guy, do you never let him have a go? And he went, no. And he said, because if he doesn't like it, then we've got to find ourselves another teaser horse. And I'm like, he can't even do it himself. He's got hooves. He has to just go off with a horse erection and be left.
The most frustrated horse in the world.
Yeah.
Is that teaser horse called Blue Balls? Because that is... Wow. That is frustrating.
Is it the same teaser horse every time?
Why can't the stallion have sex with the mare to begin with? Why can't he do the foreplay and stuff?
I think it's to avoid any chance of injury because they're such expensive horses. So they bring in at least one... Because the stallion is normally the one that's really expensive. So the stallion will be an ex-racehorse that's won loads of races. And the more races it's won, the better the pedigree, the more expensive it is for you to... for it to breed with your mare, but even then, it's like exclusive dating. That people will come in and go, "Oh, I'll pay $100,000 to."
Sorry, I can't stop laughing. I'm still laughing at the teaser horse being led away. Going, for fuck's sake,
not again!
Always the bridesmaid.
I think we should change always the bridesmaid to always the teaser horse.
Always the teaser horse.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. When I worked on a film set. This is before I got into stand-up. This is 1993 or so. I'd been travelling for a couple of years and I came back and we were just looking for any jobs, and they sent all of us in the job centre, everyone there, they just went, everybody get down to Newcastle Emlyn, this little town. They're shooting a film with Edward Woodward. and you're all going to be extras. 30 quid a day, all going to be extras, right? So me and my mates, we all went down, the other ones from the job centre, all the unemployed friends we had in Carmarthen, went down there. And turned up on this set and they fitted us out in these. I was a gypsy, as they called it, and I had to lead this horse around and stuff. But I was allergic to my costume, so I was streaming. They were giving me antihistamines. Nothing would stop it. My face was swollen. My face, eyes were streaming. I said after the first day, I've got to change. I'm really sorry. They're like, you can't, continuity. So 5 days they kept me in it.
Oh my god!
I was in a terrible state. But this was the funniest thing that happened on that set, right? Is that there were horses everywhere because it was a program, it was a film, it's called Gypsy Fires, right? In Welsh, it was Tân ar y Comin. It's quite a well-known film.
Yeah, it's really well-known.
And you can see me in the background. This is years before I did stand-up, 10 years before, and I had long hair and everything, so I'd been travelling. And but this horse, they'd bring this horse in. You say worst jobs, this is the third worst one. Third worst one after definitely the worst job in the world is the guy who sorts out the teaser horse, right? Who has to finish him off. Second one is the guy who has to guide the horse's penis into the mare. This is the third worst one. This the horse, I don't know what it was, but it was... We'd all be standing by, okay? Stand by, positions, please. And then the director would go, action. Every time he said that, pretty much, this horse would get an erection. That's how it seemed, right? One of the horses there would get a... He's used to
doing different films.
Yeah. I know, fair play to you. Exactly, no fluff or nothing. He was just boring.
Period drama with Catherine the Great.
It was one of those things. It felt like it was like Sod's Law. It probably only happened a few times, but it felt like every time he said action, this horse would get an erection, like a Pavlovian thing. This horse had this massive erection. And then it was one person's job. I don't know if they had any other job on set. I don't know if they had any other roles. But the only thing I saw this guy doing was run out with a bicycle pump full of water and spray the horse's cock until it shriveled back. It would shrivel up and go back into itself. And then he'd go, okay, we're clear. And then he'd go, 1, 2, 3, action. He'd go, boy. Little man comes out, squirt, squirt, squirt. Literally just spraying it with cold water and it would all shrivel back up. And it just happened over and over again.
Working with horses' dicks is just awful.
Yeah, anything with horses' dicks.
Not great.
Although I would rather work with a horse's dick, and this is where we leave this conversation, I think, than a dog's dick.
No. What?
Okay, put a little sting there, Barry. little sound effect there, we move on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, on with the story. Both horses are trained by Daryl Ward. Okay, so two controversial titles have been given permission to race down under.
Oh, Des Award, eh?
Two controversial titles have been given permission to race down under. Both horses are trained by Daryl Ward. Do you know him?
Yeah, Des Award, we used to call him.
I can't tell if you're serious. I mean, that probably is true. I know he's probably made it up, but it's just as likely to be true.
And when he goes out on a Friday night, he's Des Mataz.
Both horses are trained by Daryl Ward, who has 65 career wins and 350 sweet grand in prize money.
Wait, that's Daryl?
That's Daryl.
It's so funny that he gets awarded the wins when it was actually the horses who did all the work.
350 grand in prize money since his first winner in 1994. And both two-year-olds, is the horses now, ran in a trial event at Digon Racecourse in Queensland. The first horse to run was named, and this is where it's clever, Lovin, no G on the end, L-O-V-I-N, apostrophe, Lovin. And then the second word is D-O-Q-O-Q-U-E, which in French sounds like de coq, whereas in Australian...
Lavender cock.
Lavender cock. The other had the name Get On De Cock.
Get on to cock, love it to cock.
Get on to cock.
Oh, well
Fans
done,
Fans replied with crying face emojis to a tweet highlighting the eyebrow-raising names. One fan said, they'll be renamed before you know it.
Oh, that was worth reporting.
Killjoy.
Another commented, that'll be renamed now, thanks to you calling it out. I mean, presumably...
Spoiling our fun.
Yeah.
Spoiling our fun.
I mean, you've got to take it where you can get it.
Presumably, commentators have been going, and it's Lovin' De Cock coming up on the outside now with Get On De Cock.
It is quite entertaining, isn't it? Yeah. That would have livened it up on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah,
Saturday
Rob would have stuck around and watched that.
Yeah,
if,
come on.
If all the horse names had been...
Funny.
Disguised rude words. As a child, I would have loved that.
Exactly.
Some of the X-rated names that have slipped through the net. Those to have actually raced under their questionable names include Big Tits.
I told you.
How did that one get through?
Who never finished better than sixth.
Oh.
There was also Slippery Dick. Finn Mental, like Effin Mental, who wasn't really noticed until another horse ran called He's Effin Mental Too. And Wear the Fox Hat. Wear the Fox Hat, that's clever.
Yeah.
Fuchu, hang on, Fuchu, the son of All Too Hard. What? Won at Kensington Racecourse in Sydney in May 2019. Horseyback, Horseface. Won his first race while hoof-hearted.
Please don't tell me he didn't get that.
Ran a couple of stinkers during his career.
Classic.
They must have such joy from just name. That's the best bit of the job, isn't it? Naming the horse.
But can I ask, how come every podcast I do with you guys is all about cock and balls?
I don't know. It's really.
I think it's you. We've never discussed it,
can't
it at
be
all.
Me. I didn't bring up. Horse stick.
Oh God, it's 5:30. Sorry, mate.
I've got to go.
We will see you again. Ta-ta for now.
See you guys.
See ya. Barry, do you know anybody who's a horse racer? Do you know anybody into horse racing?
I know someone I know's brother. It used to be a jockey, and he does something with ITV racing as well.
Know's brother,
yes,
is on ITV racing on TV.
He's something to do with ITV. Yeah, ITV
Bloody,
racing.
Well, that'll do. That's all close right. enough. And they used to be a jockey. They sound reasonably qualified.
What if we phone them up and they're like, no, sorry, what?
I thought you were gonna say, so and so, he likes a flutter. And no, I thought it was some comedian. No, what, you know the guy from the TV racing and who used to be a jockey?
The man who invented jockeying.
The guy who invented horses, you say?
Hey, Luke.
Hello.
All right. How are you?
Now, listen, Luke, Barry's very briefly introduced us to what you do, but would you mind just for us? Thanks for doing this, by the way.
That's all right. No,
I don't know if he's told you. I don't know how much he's told you about why we were ringing you.
All and sod at the moment, but no. I was a professional jockey for 15 years.
Wow.
And then I was a jump jockey, not flat jockey. And then I now work in broadcast. I work for ITV Racing.
I don't think I've ever met a jockey before.
No, I've never met a jockey before.
I didn't say I was a good one, but I.
Well, you must have been all right to do it for 15 years. You can't have been. Well, you can't be just every day going, God, I'm still shit at this.
Yeah, I kept thinking next year can't be as bad as the last. But no, it's. It's a bit like sort of football. A lot of people want to get into, believe it or not, a lot of people do want to be jockeys. You do get lots of crossovers with, you know, football, people that have tried their hand at football then come in to try their hand
do
at
you?
Racing as well. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
People go in, I want to be a footballer. And then we go, I really gave that my best shot. I'm not going to do that. I'll be a jockey instead.
I literally interviewed someone, I think it was on Tuesday, and they said that... they probably weren't good enough, but the excuse was that they were too small, and he couldn't think what else to do, and he'd never sat on a horse before. And then age 16, he learned how to ride, and there he is. He's had a...
Really?
Yeah, he's only an apprentice, yeah.
Why is there... I mean, you might as well go, there's a lot of ex-plumbers in this game. Yeah, I mean, what is the connection between being good at football
well, not
and going to be a jockey?
Silk top?
Yeah. And all jockeys wear tights under their breeches, but that's another story.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Well, that's just to stop you rubbing your rubbing your legs when you're on the horse. But
there's a lot of ex-footballers as well get into owning horses, don't they? A lot of managers. Yes. Alex Ferguson famously was a huge horse racer.
Oh, well,
Michael Owen is a massive horse racing fan.
That kind of makes more sense.
That makes more sense because they've got so much money they don't know what to do with it, so they look for different investment opportunities. I understand that.
I used to live next door to Mickey Quinn, who used to play for Newcastle.
Yeah.
Sumo Quinn, yeah.
He's a big fat guy with a tash.
Great.
So he couldn't have been a jockey then.
we went on holiday and he said unbelievable how many people still recognize me. And I said, Mick, you've got you're 18 stone, you've got a Newcastle shirt on saying Quinn on the back. That's a true story. Absolutely unreal.
I love it. That's brilliant.
So we had this story. The reason we were ringing you, Luke, is we had this story it was one of those stories that crop up in the tabloids from time to time about horse names that people have tried to get away with. But we thought we'd speak to somebody who's got first-hand experience of it.
On the British Horse Racing Authority, if you want to, you can't run a horse unless it's got an official name. It's got to be registered. So there are all sorts of names, but they won't let you now. They go through it with a fine-tooth comb so that you don't register anything that's in any way, shape, or form risky.
Is it like, it's almost like a game of cat and mouse then, is it?
Good horse running now, really good horse, although she got beat at the weekend, called Eileen Dover. The horse that everyone loved, it's called Noble Locks. No bollocks.
Oh, no. I was thinking that would have been right over my head.
Yeah, but so you know, that... that was quite...
You have to really want to get your kicks, don't you? If you're like going through horse names, trying to get your kicks out of it.
Yeah, but what's clearly going on is a game of cat and mouse. Is that people are going, is it like a challenge in the horse world to try and get your double entendre name past the authorities? Is that like the game?
Yeah, it is. But you know, if you've got a horse, if you call it, I don't know, you call it something, most good horses have got good names. If you know what I mean, they've got, you know, for instance, I'm friends with Tony McCoy, who's 20 times champion jockey.
Right.
So his boss, JP McManus, they'd been waiting. They thought they had this really good horse. It was a youngster, hadn't even had a saddle on its back yet. And JP McManus called it Champ after McCoy. Mm-hmm. And it's still running now. And it's turned out to be really good. He won at Cheltenham last year.
It's not as simple as if you get a good name, though, you're going to win, is it?
No, but what I mean is...
if you call the name, that's half the battle.
It's quite dangerous, because you have to call... You can't change the name after it's run once. So if you call a horse Champ and it's stone useless, you look a right bloody idiot,
so
don't you?
if, for example, you did have a horse and you called it something rude, and that horse went on to win the Grand National or something, something rude would have won the Grand National. And then
but they won't let you know. That's why they won't let you.
They won't let you.
The ones we've got here in the paper are... well, it depends how you want to pronounce it. Have you come across, probably the wrong phrase, have you come across Loving de Cock? And what was the other one?
Deco, it's meant
get
to be
on,
Deco.
Get on de Cock.
But it's meant to be Deco. Deco. Yeah.
Now, exactly.
So a lot of these are the French ones, so they have the preface of de Cock in it, and it's not how we would. But I'll tell you the funny one, the really funny one, that so no one would call. So... someone called a horse the wife.
Right.
So the commentator used to say, "Oh, here they go, going down to the 2 mile start, and it's Luke Harvey riding the wife."
It's so childish.
So you can imagine all the time, it's just so fun. Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
in the paper, it said that Loving de Cock and Get On de Cock were. The excuse was that the authorities had read it all wrong. It was the French names, and it should have been Loving de Co and Get On de Co. So, sort of French pronunciation, which I think we'd all. We're all probably not buying, but that's clearly the game of cat and mouse that they're trying to get away with it. But those failed, I think, to get away with. Have you come across those horses?
Yeah, there's so many of them about. And the cleverest one, because I looked it up, the cleverest one is a horse called Celibate. And so quite often people, the mother and the father horse, they take bits of the it's the all right. It's all right.
You can
name.
You can use bigger words than that. We're not 5 years old.
I am. I'm the mummy and daddy horse.
Yeah. They love each other very much.
Enjoying this.
But yeah, but yeah, you should see. Yeah. So
tell us what happens when a mummy and daddy horse love each other very much. Let me just get my pajamas.
Hot milk.
So celibate's father was called Shy Groom, and the mother was called Dance Alone. So it's a good, it's like clever name.
An opera.
A whole family tree.
It's a proper little story going on.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned to you, Luke, my brother lives in Lexington, Kentucky, and he's worked on various stud and breeding farms. And is this the same every sort of breeding, any racehorse breeding operation, where they have a teaser horse who's in with the mare for a bit, and just as they start to get frisky and they're both excited, they lead him away and then bring in the stallion who's been watching and sort of, you know, all excited from the side, and they bring him in and then he does his business. Is that usual, or is that just a Kentucky thing?
It's like being at a disco and stand at the bar and having bought someone drinks all night, and then someone at the last minute goes, bingo. Cheers for that, my son.
Thank you.
Yes, it is. But they're worth these, the stallions are worth so much money that you know they need.
Yeah,
quite a lot
that
of help
is incredible. So they're basically showing the stallion porn to get him turned on, and then they lead away the porn actor before he gets a chance.
In case it's an injury, I suppose, is it in the lead up? Yeah. Is that the part?
Essentially, as an analogy, they've sort of the stallion's watching a porn film to get turned on, so he doesn't get injured too early. So the female is ready, right? But then. As soon as the guy's fixed the boiler, he gets led out. He cleans the pool, they lead him off. He's like, I thought the boiler was
like
just an excuse.
A plumber guy comes round, but then when it's time for it, he leaves and a really hot man comes in.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
Exactly.
I think we look at different porn, Rod, you and I.
Hey, while we're on the subject of this kind of thing, just one last question. Have you ever heard of mustard being rubbed on a horse's bottom to make it run faster?
I have not.
Hey, listen, Luke, thanks for joining us. Sorry for
all
keeping
right.
you.
Nice to see you. Cheers, Em.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Thanks
bye-bye.
Very
bye-bye.
Much, Luke.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Right, time to choose your froth of the week. Which is the frothiest of our frothy stories this week?
Well, we only did one, so...
I think we may only have done one.
The horsey one.
I can't remember. We've talked about hedges so much and asses and mustard. I can't remember. The horsey one. The horsey one it is. Congratulations, horsey one. Right, that's all we've got time for.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks to our special guest, Jared Christmas, our horse racing correspondent, Luke Harvey, and the amazing Josh Phillips, creator of the new Froth theme tune with brass by Johnny Thirkel.
And don't forget, you can contact us at The Froth Podcast, where you'll get extra frothy content, including unseen bits and exclusive behind-the-scenes videos. And don't forget the exciting new email facility. Our email address is hello@thefrothpodcast.com.
And if you enjoyed this nonsense, don't forget to like and subscribe. Rate us at 5 stars. Spread the word. Tell your friends. This podcast was a Llanbobl Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Rustle Up Productions.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.